Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hi.
Hey, you guys.
How are ya?
Oh, just swell. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in a silly, goofy mood.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. No, me.
Okay,
fine. Us. How are you? What are you doing? Yeah, you. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, you.
What are you doing when you listen to us? What are you wearing? What aren't you wearing?
Who did we have? Somebody, I think, left us something on Spotify, and it was like, I'm listening in the shower. I feel seen, or like, I feel caught.
Yes. Hey.
Oh, my goodness.
Just be careful. Recently, I had to stop doing that when I was alone and showering.
What, listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got all anxious.
Yeah. If I'm home alone, I can't do it.
I used to. Okay. There was a real moment where I would hike and listen to true crime.
Yeah. Wild.
That, I mean, maybe I'm a psycho. Like, that might be my biggest red flag.
Too far.
Yeah. And then I had to stop because I was like, ooh, you know what? I'm not sleeping.
Nope.
That's not great.
Mm-mm.
No.
I do remember that. And I would be like, well, I had your location. So I'd be like making sure, like, oh, okay, her dot's back in the parking lot. We're good.
I love it because I used to like take pictures of the only car in the lot and be like, hi, it's just me and this person. So if I die, here's a license plate.
I used to get those all the time. We are cut from the same cloth. I've talked about it before, but when I was a kid and we'd like walk around the block or anything, go for a walk, be a kid.
Yeah.
If a car like creeped me out or someone like drove by us more than once or slowly,
yeah,
I would dial their license plate,
yeah,
like as a call, and then hit like call and then end the call immediately so that there was a record of what those numbers were.
Wow.
Somewhere, so that maybe the police would put it together.
We are the same.
Yeah. I don't know. And why was I thinking that at 10?
Anxiety.
It's the anxiety.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it was, I think that part of me plays a big role in why we do this.
Oh yeah, same.
Because it's like I need to know what the knowledge is power.
The part of me that has ripped out my own hair to leave hair evidence in Lyfts and Ubers,
yes,
is why we do this.
Yes. The amount of times I've pretended to be like on the phone, be like, oh, no, I'm on my way. I'm about 15 minutes out. Yes, tell everyone I'm going to be there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not talking to anybody. I got my calculator pulled up. What are you talking about? Like, but that's survival. I don't know. Yeah. That's life in this day and age, and I feel like it's a blessing in a way, that not that these awful things happen, but that we can sort of hear them and try to learn from them and do what we can to try to keep ourselves and each other safe. I mean, it's really, what can we learn and how can that not be for nothing? Like, it can't be.
Well, and all of the innovations and like technology that's changed since we were kids, at least, it can be used for bad, but also we get to use it for good, which is cool.
So, you know, anyway, that's me. Also, while we're on that topic, because it's a new year, and maybe, I mean, it's the same us, but maybe it's a new you. Maybe you're just joining us. Hi.
Hey.
Nice to meet you. So I'm Allie. Nice to meet you.
I'm Abby. And we met years ago and quickly became besties.
And then from there, we were like, we love true crime. We also both have, oh God, what do we say? Combined over a decade of education in the field, more than that in work in the field. And then in our free time, we still like to sit and talk about true crime cases and unpack and talk about the psych and the sociology and the CJ and all the things that you can talk about with true crime cases. We do that.
Yes, we sure do, in our free time for fun, because we're nerds.
Yes, but massive, big old nerds. And we know you are because you're listening.
Hey, nerd. And so because of that, we do always just like to make sure it's known that we don't talk about our places of work, because this is our free time nerd time, not our work time nerd time.
Homegirl, I'm not getting paid by them to talk about that. I'm not doing any of that. Mm-mm. But we also, we don't represent our places of work. This is our personal opinions, our fun corner of this true crime world and space where there's room at the table for everybody, where
hell yeah,
there's certain things you never have to worry about us talking about, because this is just a space that's designed for having these conversations and growing and changing our minds. I mean, we've changed in the course of doing this for a few years, and I think that's pretty great. I think that's awesome.
I think more people should take in more information, analyze it, and then use that to change how they see things.
Yeah. And I think that's good. We get by with a little help from our friend called Sarcasm and Humor because if you're not laughing,
you're crying.
You're crying.
And we cry enough.
We cry enough. And we do. We have that enough. And I think if you work in the criminal justice field at all, or you have any of those other like more stressful jobs, I think you kind of get it where... gallows humor is how you cope.
Yeah.
Because you quite literally are crying if you are not laughing. And so we are never laughing at the expense of any victim, but we will most certainly roast the offender. That's just a given.
Yeah. If we can anytime for fun, for silly goofies, for if I don't do this right now, I'm going to start sobbing into the mic and it's going to be the ugly kind. And yeah. I don't think it can make it through another round of my tears kind of laugh. You know, whatever we got.
But we just... We like hanging out with we like hanging out with you. We love getting to hang out with you. This is my favorite part of my week.
It's the favorite part of our week. And also, hopefully, yours.
Ooh. Yeah.
Sorry.
So yeah, we're here for you on Tuesdays and we have a lot in store for you in 2025. And we are just very excited.
We sure do. On that note, I wanted to say hi, hello, and welcome to About Time for True Crime, your favorite true crime podcast.
Hey.
If you've made it this far, please do consider giving us a rate, a follow, a like, a subscribe. And if you want to look at any of our little linkies down below, you can get to our socials, you can get to our email, send us some pod pets, be the first pod pet of 2025 to show up on our Instagram.
True. I want to shout out Shannon.
Yes.
Shannon sent us the absolutely most adorable photo of her and her pod pet. I have yet to ask permission if I can share it.
Gizmo,
so when
right?
Yes, Gizmo.
Oh, I love Gizmo.
So when I do confirm that we can share it, we'll share it. But definitely send your pod pets. Even if you sent them before, did they have a cute holiday outfit?
I don't know.
What is their new year, new fit? Like, what is going on?
What is your resolution for your pet? I want my cat to get nicer to me.
Still. I want that for you, too. Abby's still, cat's a bastard.
He is. He's a little bastard from hell. And I love him and he loves me more than anybody else.
It's true.
However, it's been a while since I've had a scar from him. I don't have any open wounds from him.
It's true.
I think I might be a year clean.
We are not selling the whole like we love pets thing. We really do.
I love my cat.
We're not selling you on getting a cat. This one's just feral and she knew that.
Yeah, I would die for him and he knows it and he often threatens it. Yes. So it's fine. He's great. He's my little lumpy boy. I have no idea what's wrong with him, but he won't let the vets touch him.
Yeah.
So.
You said I'll die for you and he said,
bet.
Damn right you will.
He said he's also very defensive or like protective of me.
Yes.
So people would come over and he's like, you can't make my mom cry, only I can make my mom cry. And then he'll make you cry too. So I'm so sorry, just let me know if you're coming, I'll give him some gabapentin, it'll be fine.
It's true. He was so nice to me when I checked on him when you were away.
Yeah.
So I had that you. And I was so sick, I had like a cold and I was like, are you sure you want me to go in your house? And I went and fed him and took care of him and he was so nice. I was like, do not attack me.
He was like, auntie.
I thought he could sense that like I was weak, you know, like I wasn't feeling well. And he's just like, I could win, like, you know, you kill the weak one. I was like, oh shit.
Well, you're
like rolled
him
my
food.
Sleeves up to go in there. I was like, ugh, I gotta
look tough and
gotta take him
rumble.
I gotta get, look tough and rumble. I do. Well, anyway, you were saying
on that case, I feel like we should get into it today.
I think we should.
I don't think these people need to know where my brain is right now anymore. All right. So for those of you who are skipping, yoo-hoo, pods on, it's time.
It's time.
Come on, lock in. We're here. Please keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times because it's going to be a bumpy ride today, okay? I am going to be covering the murder of Hannah Graham.
Okay, I don't know this one.
But we have a couple of twists and turns along the way. Before we get all the way into it, though, just as usual, I wanted to highlight some of my sources and trigger warnings for you today. So I got a lot today from 48 Hours Deadly Connection episodes on this case. It was a two-parter. I also got a lot from NBC News, ID, CBS, BBC, and ABC News networks. And for trigger warnings, there will be discussion of rape, assault, violence, and murder. And also really ugly cars, if that's a trigger warning for you as well.
Okay.
Today, we are going to be talking about a case that highlights a lot of interesting pieces of our criminal justice system. And I think that you will have a lot to say on it.
Oh, okay.
I sure do. So today, I want to start by asking you a question.
Oh, no, me?
Yeah, you.
Ah, shit.
Well, and you. You know, you're listening. You clicked on it, though. What kind of person do you expect to be a threat to adults? Are they menacing? Do they have power? Could they be so big, so strong, so tough, big muscles? Do they have firearms? Maybe they don't have any of those things. Maybe they're not someone you'd expect at all. But maybe they are.
Oh, Abby.
But that's not where we're starting today.
Okay.
Okay. See, today's case is interesting because I'll really only go into specifics on our victim, Hannah
mm-hmm.
Graham.
Mm-hmm.
But today's case is responsible for bringing to justice and bringing closure to two other unsolved crimes and offered a development in the form of confirming no participation in a third unsolved crime. Hannah Graham was born in England and moved to Virginia at 5.
Okay. It's a big move.
It is a big move. Her whole family came over, which was super cool. And we're going to skip forward to the year of 2014 when Hannah was a sophomore in college.
Okay.
She was only 18, so she was a little bit ahead of her time. But she was a college sophomore at the University of Virginia. She wanted to major in global public health.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, she was such a great student. She had straight A's. She was popular and bright and athletic and had such a passion for helping others. Hannah had such a bright heart and great leadership skills, evidenced by her time as a team captain in high school on her little sports teams.
Hmm.
And Hannah is also said to have had an unquenchable spirit. She loved hiking and skiing. And she just sounds like a blast, honestly.
Like if she sounds like we'd be friends with her.
Yeah. Love it. Into it. Would hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is also beautiful. And not that that is the most important thing or that it really matters. But you can just see how bright her spirit is in any of the photos of her smiling that you can see. Hannah, like many college kids, was away from home in 2014 when she was attending school. In fact, for the first time, she was also kind of away from school because it was her second year of school, but she moved into off-campus housing. So she wasn't immediately familiar with all of the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So one night in September, she decides she's going out. She's going out with her friends. And this is in downtown Charlottesville, Virginia, near to her campus, but like in the downtown area.
Good for her. She deserves a night out, damn it.
She does. She's a straight-A student in college. That's hard. School had begun barely 2 months ago, and Hannah was like, I'm going to a dinner with my friends, and we're having a night.
Yeah.
So on the night of September 12th, 2014, she set out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my college days were by no means yesterday, but they weren't terribly long ago myself. I remember nights out and party hopping and going out to be cute and silly goofy. And I think that many kids in college want those same things. To be able to have fun and go out and be with their friends and then wake up the next day, take an Advil and eat a microwave burrito. Not that I'm speaking from experience, mom or dad.
Yeah, me either. Retweet.
Yeah, RT. But for most kids, the second part of that is always an assumption. You're going to wake up the next day and you're going to take an Advil.
You're going to compare notes with your friends.
Yeah.
You're going to drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some kind of toast because that is a good carb that's just going to absorb all the yucky that's still swimming around in there.
And then you're going to probably go back to bed.
Yep. And you're going to take a shower and you're going to say, I'm never drinking again. And then you're probably going to wait a week and you're going to do that again.
Yeah. But all of that, all of the assumptive part of the night after, the night of drinking,
is a is a privilege not everyone gets.
Exactly. You always assume the next day is going to be there. And for Hannah, that just wasn't the case. Mm. For Hannah, this was one of those nights. She got dressed up in the cutest little outfit. She had like this pretty little green crop top on and like these cute little, I think they were jeans, but they were kind of flared. They were really cute. Mm. And she set out with friends into a downtown mall area in Charlottesville. It seemed like they went to dinner first before deciding to like bar hop or go around and then eventually going back to other parties. But because they started the night out in the downtown, that isn't where they wanted to end up at the end of the night. And that happens for a lot of college kids. You might have a pregame. Granted, most of the time, at least in my experience, that wasn't going out to bars to pregame. But hey,
no.
If one in Rome, this Rome, they're going out to bars, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it was where they were starting their night. And while we don't know a ton about her plans and who she was seeing or not, we do know around midnight going into September 13th, 2014, Hannah was seen walking alone around Charlottesville, bopping into different bars, spots, and parties.
Interesting. Alone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, the CCTV footage later shows detectives that during her night out, Hannah is shown at McGrady's Pub, a Shell gas station, near Sal's Pizza, near a Tool's Jeweler, and by a Tempo restaurant and bar.
Okay.
She was all over the place. And while some of this footage is mundane in nature, most of it shows her a little bit tipsy. Maybe mm-hmm. a stumble here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly walking around or on her phone.
Who hasn't?
Truly. Who hasn't?
But it is interesting to me because there was never a time I wasn't exactly a partier. That wasn't my jam. I'm too much of a control freak.
did you guys hear the entire intro? We were like, nerds.
Yeah. Big old nerds. But I will say, I mean, I certainly did my fair share of when I was in school and everything, and usually the mom friend. So I was usually the one that was like, okay, make sure this one's got her shoe. No, you have mm-hmm. to keep your shirt on.
Yep.
No, I'm going to hold your hair. No, you're going to drink water. Yes, this water tastes like vodka. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yup. Mm-hmm. Yum.
This vodka doesn't even taste like anything. Look, tastes like water.
Wow. I'm going to drink it too.
Put it in a Dasani.
So if I were one of her friends, just the thought of one of them walking away, like one of my friends walking away and spending the rest of the night alone, noticeably drunk,
right?
I don't think I would let happen, which would tell me that either no one noticed or everyone else was too drunk that they didn't notice,
right?
Like in that different way, like she just slipped away or everyone else was just already having that bad of a time or went home or something,
right? And I'm not sure entirely how she got separated, because there does seem to be evidence that she was trying to get back to them or back to other people.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was like, we all were at this bar and we're going somewhere else now, and oh, we just accidentally left one behind. We didn't count right, or what?
Yeah.
But there is some more concerning footage from that night of her wandering.
Okay.
So I believe it was the gas station, but it might have been the Sal's Pizza, where she's on the tape twice. And one of the times it's fine. She's just walking along. I think she sends a text and then she's out of frame. And then you see her later running.
Oh.
But we don't know to what. And because of the camera footage, we know that nobody was following her. Nobody followed her there.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really know why. But later in the night, around 1 a.m., maybe just a little bit after, two things happen. She texts her friends that she's going to a party, but she's lost. She says, I'm trying to get here, but I am lost.
Oh, and if she's drunk and she's like trying to look at her phone for directions, and the walking directions always uh-huh. look different than the driving directions, and she's getting kind of all turned around.
Right. And like,
I can see that. All right.
School kind of just started picking up. It's her first time not living on campus. So,
yep, so you're kind of learning
lost around the college neighborhood towns.
Yeah, you're learning the towns. And I don't know how busy it is there, if it's more like a city rather than like more rural, but
it's pretty populated.
That can make it confusing because there's like always a ton of little side streets yep. and one ways, and you always get them wrong. And
oh my gosh, I know. So that's the first thing that happens. But okay. The second thing that happens is we start to see someone appear on these tapes. First, we don't really notice him because he's following her a couple of people back. It's a large man. He has dreadlocks. He's a little bit heavier set, and he is just following. But then somewhere around where she's at the Tempo restaurant and bar, he ends up not quite hand in hand, but side to side with her with his arm around her.
Interesting. Okay.
And then her friends never hear from her again. And she never makes it home. Luckily, Hannah had amazing friends and family. I mean, it should be no surprise. You heard what kind of person she is. She kept good people around her. So it only took until the next day, Sunday, September 14th, 2014, for the missing persons report to be made to the Charlottesville Police Department. Quickly, the search was on for Hannah. Something to know about this community was that while it felt relatively small and safe, this was not their first disappearance or missing girl. The search for Hannah was wide, and what was then Twitter, now X, played a major role in it, actually. So this was reported. They sort of look into it. They say, okay, obviously she didn't run away on her own. That's not like her. She was lost. That's concerning. She doesn't make it home. Now we're at the next day. We're still not finding anything. And we have experience with this.
And it hasn't ended well, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't think either of the cases that we're going to talk about had ended at that point in time.
Well, right. But just the like, we didn't find them in 24 right. hours. Like this could be a...
Right. This could be a repeat.
Yep.
And so the... police department here was really fast. They were like, the search is on and we're going hard. Like this investigation's going hard, which was awesome. It was amazing. And the part that Twitter played in this was that people were so quickly in it. Oh, I saw this. Oh, I saw her here. Oh, this happened. Hey, have you looked into this? And that really helped them get a head start. But also it really got the word out. And they started doing searches quickly. And this became one of the biggest and most populated search parties for somebody in Virginia history, from what I saw.
Wow.
In their first week, I think, of looking, they turned up over 1,000 people. At one point, estimated like 1,100.
That's pretty awesome.
It's huge. It was also the first case in Virginia history to use a drone to help look.
Wow.
That in 2014.
That seems really late for that to be the first... time it's used.
Really? I thought that was early for like just a normal search.
Yeah, I figured we've had
things
in the air so long. I just thought that would be something we'd use.
That's fair.
But maybe they didn't have like all the thermal stuff that probably is most useful now.
That's true. That is true. All of those add-ons have been so interesting. But anyway, something else that was curious about this search was that two families heard about what happened and quickly joined the efforts to find Hannah. The first was the Harrington family, whose daughter Morgan had disappeared 4 years ago at that point and still hadn't found any answers.
4 years.
4 years. It might have been about five at that point, actually. But the other family was the Murphy family, whose daughter Alexis had also been missing for years. But Alexis was presumed dead, and they had a conviction for someone they thought did it. But either way, they call themselves part of a sick, twisted little club, and they will always show up for people who might have to join it. So they came to these search parties, and they helped like none other.
I think you think that always happened to somebody else.
Right.
And to be those families, to be dealing with that, to just be like, this is a horrible club and I wish you never had to join it, but there's a seat here with me.
Right. At least we're here too.
So powerful that as awful as this is, it's going to feel like your world is over. It isn't. But you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
Because even if we're different people from different walks of life, from different parts of the country, state, whatever, we have this in common and I know that pain.
Right. And I know what this is like.
And I know what you're feeling right now. And that is just, I imagine that's very powerful.
Well, and I also think too, like before they knew each other, before they knew anything, they said, we're showing up to that. Like we wanted people at ours. We're showing up to that. And then as you'll see, their stories get so intertwined. It's fascinating. But they weren't the only ones. again, this search party estimated at like 1,100 people, well over 1,000. They think closer to 1,100. And that's a lot of people, but they were all really dedicated. And that was not without effort. The police chief made it such a point to say, like, if you knew Hannah, if Hannah goes to your school, if she has touched your life in any way, like, it is your duty to help us find her. And he was very effective. You should really watch some of the stuff. But over the next week, as the police found evidence and word spread, more and more people continued to join the search and join the efforts. And Hannah's parents themselves did press conferences urging people to come forward. And, you know, someone had to have seen something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by that Thursday, September 18th, two major things had happened. First, friends and family held a candlelight vigil for Hannah to try to raise awareness and hashtag bring Hannah home, yeah. You know. But the second was police nailed down a suspect, and he was a good one. The suspect they believed they had was Jesse Matthew Jr., which, because we never miss an opportunity to make fun of this.
Two first names.
And not even Matthews. Matthew. Brother. What? Okay. Anyway. From witnesses and CCTV, the police believed that Hannah had been followed by Jesse first. And then witnesses said that he came up from behind her and noticed that she seemed visibly intoxicated. Jesse put his arm around her, and one witness specifically noted that he did not look friendly. Another one noted and pointed out that he didn't seem to know her, and Jesse looked at the bystander and said, "Hush."
Ugh.
Yeah.
I've never... Okay, side note. Who says hush? Okay, it's shh or nothing.
Right?
Okay.
Hush.
Hush?
Hush, little baby, don't... Right?
Hell no.
Hell no. I'm sorry. If you're a grown-ass man and you're telling me to hush, hush the fuck up. Go away. I don't want to see you.
Out of spite, I will not hush.
No. In fact, I'll be loud.
I will be loud. And you will hush me again, and I will be louder, damn it, because I could not stand that.
No.
That just bothers
and
me.
I also think it's such a soft way to say, be quiet.
It's also... Hush. It's like a condescending way to tell someone to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And mind your own business.
Yeah. And granted, this is like a large man. Like, he's, I think, over 6 foot. He's built like, hush.
Yeah. I don't like that.
No.
But also, mm-hmm. if you're drunk and you're alone and someone comes up and puts their arm around you, I don't know. Maybe you would think that they're there to help. I don't know. Maybe alarm bells don't ring the way that they might have if you were sober.
Well, not quite. Because they did ring, sort of.
Well, for other people, but for her too? Did she like run away or?
Well, I don't know if she could run away and I don't know if she tried. But there was a witness who said eventually they saw Jesse try to get her into his car.
Oh.
And granted, this man has the ugliest car I've ever fucking seen in my life. It's an orange Chrysler Sebring coupe.
Oh, no.
It's like a fucking traffic cone on wheels. What are we doing?
No offense. To any listener that might have.
Listen. I'm so happy for you if that's your color, if that's your car. But we're talking about him right now. And I have to say,
Yeah, no.
That's a warning caution sign on wheels.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. See, my flaw
is
I can be blunt and a bitch sometimes. But I am so painfully afraid of like upsetting or offending somebody or like making them like if they make me uncomfortable, I will try to overcompensate for that discomfort they've put out that
right.
like I will try to like almost reassure them like it's okay.
Oh, the fawn. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just feel bad.
Yeah.
That like I don't know what I would do. Like I don't think I'd get in a car, but like I wouldn't be like, get the fuck. I wouldn't snap at someone and say, get away from me. Don't.
Right.
I think that I would. Well, like, oh, hey, friend, let's not do that. Like, it would just be I would be so friendly about it. And that's one of my flaws. That's something I have to work on because be rude.
Be rude. Apologize later because
mm-hmm.
Hannah knew she didn't want to get in this car.
Yep.
And this witness saw it. She was like, I'm not getting in your car. And like her voice sounded heightened, like she seemed afraid.
Aww.
But I don't know if the witness was driving by or walking by and kept going, but we don't know what happens next. And there's no footage.
We don't know if she got in the car or not.
We don't know.
Oh my God.
But after that, there was no camera footage of them. Nobody saw them again. And Hannah has disappeared off the face of the planet in terms of any witnesses or footage.
That is so haunting. CCTV footage in general is haunting, just with the no audio, just the visual. So you see him go up to her, you see the arm, maybe they move a little bit more, and then he goes and gets his car, or?
I think they're walking, and I think they walk by the car.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep, no, it does.
I will say, that's I know haunting. They were together for a little bit. Like, they both went into that Tempo restaurant and bar together, and he got drinks for them, which makes sense because she's underage, so she can't be ordering them.
Oh, okay. And
then they were walking, and that's when people saw this. I'll also say, I read reports, and I don't know which bar it was at. I don't know if this was all at Tempo or if they went somewhere else together. But people were saying this man's was being weird as hell in this bar. He like at one point grabbed some lady's foot and was like, women who take care of their feet take care of everything else.
Oh. Do you know how weird you have to be for other drunk people at a bar to be like, that guy is being weird?
I do.
That is.
Because drunk people are real weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But also you notice less weird because you're drunk. So mm-hmm. if someone's getting your attention, like, the foot dude comes in, you're like, that sticks at you for a while.
Don't grab my foot. Ew.
That is so weird.
I don't know where you've been. I don't know where your hands have been.
And not my feet, you weirdo. Give me.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Ugh. These dogs are barking.
Yeah, my dogs are barking at you. Don't make them start.
No. It's just gross and weird and icky.
That would stick out to me. I can see how someone would mention that to police later.
Yeah. So police see all of this, they start putting it together with the witness testimony, and immediately they're like, okay, we got to talk to Jesse Matthew Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the junior is there. I'm just going to stop saying it because I'm lazy, but this is all the same person, just for future reference.
Two first names, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. Sweet baby Jesus.
In a tuxedo t-shirt.
So they start, right?
Sorry.
Oh my God, sorry. We just watched that. It's fresh up here for me.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But the police department starts appealing in interviews and press conferences, and they're like, we believe he is the last person to have seen our girl alive. We need to talk to him. We think he can help us find her. I don't even know if they immediately come out and say he's a suspect, but they're like, we need to talk to him, in hopes that this community will, like, someone will be like, hey, they're looking to talk to you, or, you know, yeah, and he sees it himself.
That's my coworker. Because person of interest that they want to talk to
mm-hmm.
does not mean suspect. Person of interest means like we they might have information that could help us.
Right. And now he was a suspect.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't always have to mean that.
Right. It doesn't have to mean that. Those are two different things. But part of what they found when they started looking into him was, I believe they looked up the car records, which is always a good place to start. And then they found,
he said, who stole our traffic cone?
Right. They said, how did you get that on wheels?
Damn.
And with what aux system? but they're looking into his history, and they find that Jesse has some concerning history.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Jesse is a 32-year-old man. He works as some sort of assistant in a hospital. They said he did patient transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't sound like he was an EMT. I don't think that he like just wheeled patients around. I don't think that's a job in a hospital.
Yeah, I don't know, but could be moving them from like floor to floor, section to section, making sure things are good, maybe driving from hospital to hospital.
Right, something like that. It was some sort of assistant job that was hands-on, but like not critical.
So access to patients in a hospital.
Yes. He also used to play a lot of football. I believe he volunteered to help teach football to kids, like coach it at this point in time. But none of that is what was concerning. See, back in Jesse's college days, he was playing football in college.
Okay, so about a decade ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a few different colleges. And that wasn't because like the opportunities were better at one. There was one, if not two, assault allegations against him at these colleges. But the problem was, there's nothing that says he has to stay there. And there's nothing that says if you leave that the investigation has to get continued. So these popped up and he said, you know what? That school over there looks real good. I'm going to go there. Ugh. And so there was never any findings. So there was nothing to say that he's guilty, but there's also nothing to show his innocence either.
It seems like the investigation just wasn't completed or even started in the first place.
Right. I think maybe, I don't know for a fact, but maybe the college's idea was like, hey, he was a football player. He's not here anymore. All right.
Yep. We're going to worry about the people that are still here. Maybe. I don't know.
That's right. You're welcome. He's gone.
That doesn't sit well with me, but okay.
No, it doesn't sit well with me either. In one of the podcasts that I listened to about this, they noted seeing somewhere that one of the police officers from one of the schools, I think it was the second one, really didn't take it seriously at all and even asked for his autograph because he was so good at football that they were like, this is going to be worth money someday.
Oh, okay.
Gross. Really gross. I don't know if that's true. That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
That's really gross. I don't know what police report this is from. I didn't see it, but I heard it and it really sat poorly with me.
Yeah.
So obviously there's nothing here to say that he did these things. There's also nothing here to say that he didn't. And with that history and the fact that they're asking for him and that they're now asking to talk to him, they're concerned. So Jesse does something interesting. He doesn't turn himself in, but he does walk right into the police station. Okay. And he says, I want a lawyer. I want a lawyer.
You walk in to tell the lawyer? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
He had family with him. He said he wants a lawyer. And then he leaves because they don't have anything to do anything.
Mm.
So he just walks out. And he drives away.
It's a good day to be Jesse.
It's a great day to be Jesse. And you know what, though? They didn't have anything to arrest him, but there was nothing that said they couldn't follow him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So they follow him for a little bit.
Of course.
It does seem that Jesse knew that, though.
Oh, no.
Because he did at one point book it, like pedal to the metal, and he gets away.
Could you get him for speeding now, maybe?
Right? I'm like, can you whoop, whoop? That's a 40. Like,
yep.
Nope, he gets away. We don't know where he is.
Okay.
And with that, they get the warrant to search his car and his home. I do think he was in his grandmother's car, an aunt's car. It seemed like a family member's that he fled in. So they were able to search his car.
Okay.
And his home, which was great.
Interesting they could get a warrant just based on that.
I think it was probably that, and I think they took the flea as some sort of admission of guilt, as well as the history.
I feel like it should be the history alone. If I want to run from you, I want to run from you. You
right.
Tell me I couldn't.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Okay, authority problems.
I'm just saying. We got
well,
rights.
I'm with you. We do. So they do this search of his car and his house, and they find some DNA. They don't know if it matches, but they find some DNA.
Okay, concerning.
And on this alone, they say, okay, we're at least going to arrest you on the abduction with the intent to defile of Hannah Graham.
Okay.
Now, I will say, he's gone, though. They still don't know where he is.
I don't like that.
So now they're missing two people because they don't know where Hannah is and they don't know where he is.
And if you followed him better, you might have found Hannah.
I will say that. Yeah, that's yep. Something they could have done.
Yeah.
But luckily, it didn't take them long. And I will say, that was through no actions of their own, other than posting his face everywhere and being like, we would really like to talk to this guy.
Yep.
Can you really? We really need to. they find him pretty fast because by September 23rd, so this is like 10, 11 days after Hannah's gone. So not that long, but on the 23rd, the Charlottesville PD gets a phone call. Half a country over from Virginia, a local resident in Galveston, Texas, was going to the beach. She goes to the beach. She wants to go for a little walk up and down the water, feel the little sand in her toes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Except she notices kind of a terrifying person in a tent on the beach. And when she sees his face, she's like, oh, shit, that's that guy on the news that they're looking for about that girl who disappeared.
They were showing the news of this Virginia man that's wanted in Texas. That's pretty impressive.
I guess so.
I'm shocked by that and that she'd recognize him. That's pretty cool.
And that she paid enough attention and saw him and went, yup, that's him. This woman called like every local law enforcement she could possibly find.
She's one of us.
One of us. One of... Okay. So she calls us in and he gets taken into custody, which is amazing. And how brave. Like she sees him and she stays there.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to let them know it. I'm not leaving.
Yep.
And he obviously didn't know. I'm sure she made the call in her car. I would. But she stays there. She points him out. It turns out to be him. She's like, I'd recognize him anywhere. I knew that face.
Wow. That's
and that's awesome. Something that kind of is a recurring theme in this case. So he gets brought back to Virginia for his trial. But something else locally happened that was a little more urgent. See, Jesse Matthew Jr. wasn't new to Virginia. In fact, he was a local. He had grown up there. Jesse had gone to local high schools and college in the area. Despite his long-term residence, most people who knew him called him a gentle giant. They said, no, nothing like that could have happened. He played football as a kid, and he even worked as a volunteer football coach. You know, he was a good guy. I'd trust him with my kids. But then people remembered the full history and they went, oh, there was that thing at that college, huh?
And then that thing at that other one.
That other college. But he couldn't. No, he couldn't. No, he's such a good guy. He wouldn't. He couldn't. But that wasn't news. I mean, that was his life. That was just how people knew him. See, the news was that a local town, close-ish, but not super close, was Fairfax, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a detective there who had called immediately when he saw that they located Jesse Matthew. He said, listen, I've had a case that's almost 10 years old at this point, and I think this is my guy. I need to connect to you.
Oh.
See, in 2005, there was a report of an aggravated sexual assault against a woman who wishes only to identify as RG.
Okay.
RG was in a local neighborhood going home and walked past someone that she felt uncomfortable about. They didn't really have any interaction. It wasn't a big deal, but she keeps going. She gets to her porch, puts her little keys in the door, and feels something weird. And she turns around and she is grabbed by a giant man.
Oh.
And this, I'm just going to give you a trigger warning, gets a little bit detailed, but he begins to brutally assault her. She reports that he began to rape her and told her to shut up and let him do this. And if she did, that he would let her go. But the rape wasn't really the only assault. He had choked her. He had beaten her. And at one point, he did say something along the lines of, if she didn't essentially let him do that, that he was going to wring her neck.
Oh, geez.
A local passerby who was going to a neighbor's to gather and watch a game or a match or something on TV saw this.
Oh.
He got out of his car and a shadow ran away and a bloody woman appeared and approached him saying that there was a man by the bushes. She's obviously terrified.
Of course.
She's not good. She's bloody as all get out. And this witness bravely approached the bushes yelling. He was like, come out if you're in there, come out. But the figure had already run away. So he obviously called 911. They got her the help that she needed. And I assume they must have done a rape kit and collected all sorts of evidence because they had DNA evidence from this case.
Okay.
Now, investigators did all they could, but there was no matches in any of their systems for the DNA. So they had it, but there's nobody to match it.
Mm.
You just got to hope, I guess, that one day it pings, you know? So obviously they did all they could, but all they could do was wait to see if the DNA ever matched anybody. However, while RG had been traumatized and never got a good look at her assailant, between her and the witness that came by, they were able to come up with a composite sketch. But years go by and there's no matches.
I have a guess who the sketch looks like.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I'm going to save it. Let the suspense build.
So, years and years go by. They are hoping, obviously, every day that somebody gets booked, every day that their DNA gets taken, every day that somebody is a suspect or comes in and gets this testing done, that gets added to the database. And so every day there's a little hope, and every day they close it with a little less hope. Mm. Until one day in 2009, they get a match.
Mm-hmm.
They get a match on a case of a local girl named Morgan Harrington who had been found assaulted and murdered and discarded around the Charlottesville area. Her murderer was never caught, but later a t-shirt on campus was put out almost like a trophy on a bush.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was real gross. And the DNA on it matched Morgan's, but it also matched the DNA in this case.
All right.
Still not a name. But now we got another.
Yes.
Yes. So when the Fairfax detective on this case saw the image of Jesse Matthew, he knew in his bones he caught their guy. He said, that's my fucking sketch. That's
so
my sketch.
So Fairfax was the attack. We're talking about Morgan Harrington, who was the victim from 2009-ish, yes, or five-ish years before this.
Yep.
And this case.
Yes.
With Hannah, and we're saying they're all linked.
We believe so.
Gotcha.
Because the attack in Fairfax is linked by DNA to Morgan's.
Mm.
So RG's case is linked to Morgan's. And the attack in Fairfax, the sketch, looks just like Jesse.
Gotcha.
So because it was so televised, because it was everywhere, obviously they saw it. If they're seeing it in Texas, they're seeing it a town over, right? While Jesse was already in custody for the abduction with the intent to defile for Hannah, and eventually the murder of Hannah, Jesse's DNA was sent and tested and came back as a match for RG's attacker.
How haunting to be RG, to be home and watching the news and to see that man's face on your TV.
Well, there's one blessing here, and it's that this was so traumatic for RG that she actually ended up leaving the country.
Wow.
So I don't know that she was seeing this on the news every day, which I can only hope isn't true.
I hope that she got word that he was like doing time and that she got to see him get like sentenced, hopefully, to life and gets to say her piece if she wants to.
Yes, we do get that at least.
But I just could not imagine being her and like you just sit down to have some dinner and then you go and watch TV and then it's like, oh, the worst thing that ever happened, the worst day,
right,
is blown up in your face for it's something like, else entirely.
Hi, have you seen this man? Hi, have you seen this man? Hi, have you seen this man? And it's mm-hmm. like, fucking yes, I've seen enough. Like, yep. Thank you. So I'm glad to say I don't think that was her experience at this point. But Jesse waited years for the trial for Hannah Graham's murder. And between 2014, when he was caught, and 2016, when that trial was set to start, he stood trial for what he did to RG. Now, again, RG is remaining anonymous for a number of reasons, but because she had left, she did come back to the States and testified in this trial.
Good for her.
RG flew back, and the witness that saved her life also came back.
Wow.
And Jesse Matthew stood trial for this aggravated assault. Initially, pleading not guilty, the trial went on for 3 days. The prosecutors really wanted the jury to decide, and obviously they planned to go for the entirety of the trial. RG gave an incredibly difficult testimony on what happened, recounting an attack she has tried to store away and forget about ever since. Her bystander savior, if you will, came back as a witness and also testified to what he saw. However, before the jury got a chance to respond, after the third day of testimony, Jesse and his attorneys came back and filed an Alford plea.
Ugh.
Despite this not being a plea bargain, this is allowed. So just for those of you who don't know, the Alford plea is essentially a guilty plea of like the most assholery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's basically saying, I'm not saying I did it, but I'm saying you have enough to prove I did it, but I'm not guilty.
I'm not going to say I did it, but I totally understand why you think that.
Right.
And I'm just going to accept what comes for a lesser sentence because probably not winning this.
But I'm not saying I'm guilty. But
I'm not saying I'm guilty, damn
I'm
it.
I'm not saying it. Sure, like, Jan.
All of the other things that you've shown with like DNA and the testing and all that really looks like it's me.
So fine.
Oh, geez, Anne.
Is it right to meme Diane Downs?
Fuck you, Diane Downs.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, geez, Anne.
Oh, geez. I can't believe you're saying that.
Oh, Anne.
If you do want to know how truly guilty he was, the DNA match they found from him to the sample they had was a 1 in 7.2 billion match.
Those are some good odds.
Today, there's less than 8.1 billion people in the entire world. That's saying that maybe there's a second person that could match this. Except, is there a second person that could match this? Was a local to that place, matched the composite sketch, and hits the DNA?
And had a violent record already?
Sure, Jan, you're not guilty. All right.
Oh, geez.
Not guilty, my ass. Well, the judge thought the same thing, because he gave out the maximum sentence he could for what was done to RG, which turned out to be 3 life sentences.
Incredible.
To be served consecutively.
Amazing.
We heart consecutive LWAPs. We love them. Kisses to you. I love that. Wow. A note out of love here was that RG kept the detective's business card the entire time.
Wow.
The same one he gave her at the beginning. Mm. And so she got to see the man who promised to bring justice to her case, not only deliver, but then she got to like sit down with him and talk with him afterwards.
That is which incredible. Is just
beautiful. So sweet.
As awful, I mean, horrific what she experienced, to be able to have the resolution that she was able to have with so much support.
Yeah.
To be believed. To have that witness come forward who helped her. And to have that detective who said, I swear to you, I'm going to get the guy. Like, this needs to end. This can't happen again.
Yeah.
That you shouldn't have had to go through what you went through to make good on that. I imagine, or I hope it at least closes part of that chapter for her.
It's astounding to me, honestly. And the other thing here is, like, we know that she wasn't killed. We know that. She wasn't untouched, and there wasn't no violence beyond the rape. Like, this was a violent attack with a rape. And I really personally, like me, Abby, believe that if this bystander hadn't come by, we would have had a third murder victim here.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think she escaped by the skin of her teeth, and I think she is so lucky that someone came up to watch a stupid game with a friend.
Wow.
So, moving on, as we know, the DNA from RG's case matched the DNA found on that t-shirt from Morgan Harrington's case. As a little background, Morgan Harrington also attended the University of Virginia.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Her and Hannah went to the same school.
The same school, just a few years apart.
Ooh.
Morgan was 20 at the time, so in 2009. And in October of that year, Morgan had actually planned to go to a Metallica concert with some of her friends.
Oh my god.
She was so excited. She put the tickets on her fridge like 6 months in advance. She changed her outfit like 3 times before she left. It was so cute.
Oh.
Now, she did step out at some point. It sounded like maybe for a bathroom break or a breath or maybe a smoke. I don't know.
During the concert?
Yes.
Okay.
But she must not have seen that they had a no re-entry policy. So she wasn't able to get back in. Oh. Which is a bummer in and of itself. But like, then her friends were like, where are you, queen? Like, where did you go?
Oh, that's terrible. She was that excited. You can't let the girl back in.
Right.
Let homegirl in.
Right.
Come on.
It's Metallica.
She's all dressed up.
Come on.
She was so excited.
I know.
Make her go through security again. She'll do it.
It'll be fine. She didn't get anything.
She just had to pee.
Come on.
Ugh.
So they didn't let her in. And she's like, I think she texts or call. Well, she probably didn't call, but she probably texted one of her friends and was like, I can't get back in. I'm gonna head out.
But oh, that is so awful.
She didn't have a way to get home. I assume they all drove together.
Yeah.
So she's kind of starting to make her way home. And the last reports anybody has of her is like maybe 9:30 that night, trying to hitchhike home on a bridge nearby.
No.
Yeah.
What was probably the night that she looked forward to the most?
Yes.
For months, ends up being the night that she dies. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. One of the things that really hurts my heart about this one is that this was also a big deal. I don't think it was as widely publicized as Hannah's. until Metallica themselves put out something to say, if you know anything, please. Wow. Which it's cool that they did that because she was obviously such a fan. Like, she was so excited to go.
Wow.
But the same thing kind of happened there. It took months, but months later, her remains were discovered by a farmer about 10 miles away from the area.
Oh.
I haven't touched on it yet, but obviously we know that, unfortunately, Hannah is murdered. Her remains were found only like 6 miles away from where Hannah's show up.
Wow. Okay.
So while the police haven't released many details about Morgan's death, her parents have confirmed that it was violent and that more than a few bones were broken when they were discovered. It was Morgan's t-shirt that was found on the campus that matched the DNA and had trace elements of DNA that matched those from RG's case.
So had he just not been like bold and taken the shirt and put it on the campus,
mm-hmm.
there would have been no DNA to link him to RG's case.
Correct.
That was just out of spite or to set the tone.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
We still don't have answers on that. So assume what you want. I'm assuming it was to be bold and to set up a trophy because I don't know why else you spread it out on a bush.
As in like a look what I can do right in front mm-hmm. of you kind of thing. Which yeah. is horrific. I mean, I'm glad that he was dumb enough to do that. But that alone is like, are these even the only ones? Like, is this a serial killer? Like,
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Wow.
Because I don't see how we get from point A to point B without there being something in between. And if we look at the timeline here, I think the ones in college were back to back years.
Mm.
It took a couple of years after the last known college allegation to get to the 2005 attack on RG. 4 years later is Morgan's case. And then you're telling me it's another 5 years until he attacks again?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Not with that escalation. And not with the college ones being back to back. I don't think so. But that's me.
And he's not responsible for the murder of Alexis.
No.
Okay.
And we'll get there too.
All right.
But with this court ruling affirming Jesse Matthews' guilt in the RG case, it also obviously directly links him to Morgan's. And he isn't immediately proven guilty on that one, obviously. You can't do that. But it does mean he now has a warrant out for her murder as well.
Yes.
A twisted fate from the universe might remind you that Morgan's parents helped look for Hannah when she went missing before they even knew about this connection.
They had no idea.
No idea.
Wow.
That by them going out and helping look for Hannah, they were helping find their own daughter's killer.
That is incredible.
Now, Morgan's parents have been very active. At least her mom has done so many interviews and they've both shown up for so many things. But they also stood with Hannah's while waiting trial. And later, they make a really beautiful connection with Jesse's mom. Mm. I always find it so powerful when the parents of a victim and the parents of an offender come together like that, because they are both losing something.
They are both losing a child in a different way.
Yep. And they can at least empathize with that, you know? But it is unclear to me if Morgan and Hannah's trials were combined. I don't know if Jesse was intended to stand trial for their murder simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
or if they were going to be different and he just was dealing with both of these two as separate trials.
What does he have to lose? At this point, why not just plea out?
Well, it took him a while, but 3 months before the trial was set to start in 2016, he finally decides to.
Oh, you mean after they did all the work on the case?
Yeah, after he took all of the resources and time from all the people involved.
Just every way this guy can be a monster, he just is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, the car didn't help either.
I gotta look up what this guy looks like. I gotta look up them all. You can see them on our Instagram page.
You can see that
the day that this episode comes out. But I am imagining whatever the devil looks like.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's like Slendy. It's like Slenderman. Just the big
yeah.
person.
Just a...
But Slendy was
a large
slender.
Present. Yeah.
Not built like a football player.
No.
But no. That is intimidating. Like, I come in at a cute little around 5 feet, give or take.
Sure.
And if I were to stand next to, like, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I'd come up to, like, his hip, maybe.
Have you seen the video of Sabrina Carpenter singing with Taylor Swift?
Yes.
It would be that.
Yeah.
It would. Yeah. You are Sabrina Carpenter. And, I mean, Taylor Swift is beautiful and stunning and, like,
But not a football player.
And not a football player. And you would look like that next to Taylor Swift. And then there would be this guy and would make Taylor Swift look like Sabrina Carpenter next to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nuts. Thinking of, like, the sheer size of, like, how... I'm assuming if this guy had, like, a fan club and some of the people around, that he was good at football.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming quite good, if they thought he could go pro or something. Then
I think he had a full ride to school for,
like,
his
football. He's not football. A small dude. No.
If it walks like a linebacker and it quacks like a linebacker and it's built like a linebacker.
Like, it's just how terrifying at my size. Like, yeah. When your hand could just fit over my whole entire face.
Yep.
And just, like, grab me by my head.
Yeah.
Like, that is terrifying to me.
I'm certain that could have been.
Like, I'm fully possible. At your mercy because yeah. There isn't a whole lot I can do physically about this.
And it sounds like that's what he used to his advantage.
His size.
Yeah. A lot of blitz attacks
yep.
that were very violent. But he did plead guilty. And he pled guilty to the murder of both Hannah and Morgan.
Wow.
And he pled guilty to the abduction with the intent to defile. So we don't know exactly what happened to Hannah. But what we do know was that a few weeks after she disappeared, her remains were found in October of 2014.
Okay.
It was in a lot about 12 miles away from the downtown area she was last seen in, and again about 6 miles away from where Morgan's remains were found. Forensic examiners determined her cause of death to be homicidal violence, but they suspect that it was strangulation or suffocation that was the cause of death.
Okay.
They believe this because there wasn't really intense trauma to the head in any other way, but there were some broken bones near her nose.
Okay.
Which is kind of scary. Witnesses who knew and interacted with Jesse after the crime also said that he was not okay and wasn't himself for days. He was super withdrawn. He didn't answer a lot of phone calls. And I have seen some reports that said he had a swollen jaw. In which case, you get him, girl.
Yeah. But that's it? Just a few days? And he's like, oh, gotta walk it off.
Probably.
Oh, how do you do... I'm just not wired to think like that.
Also, this isn't important, but forensics also linked a hair they found to Jesse's dog, Popcorn.
That is a really cute name
for a dog. It's a cute name for a dog. And can we just take a second to stand dogs? They are the most precious creatures, and we do not deserve them. And they love those of us who do even the most heinous and unforgivable things.
No, it's true.
I love Popcorn. I stand by Popcorn.
I do also love that Popcorn left some, like, fur behind that could
hell yeah.
get his owner caught.
Hell yeah.
Like, I can at least, like, thank you, Popcorn.
Popcorn is one of us.
Oh, poor dog.
Popcorn said, I'm leaving this hair in my lift.
If dogs could talk, though, imagine like the things that, like,
truly
pets would hear in these cases. I don't know, man.
I want to know. Let us know. Can one of you be so smart and figure out how to do that for us?
Yep.
Thank you.
I must be slap happy if I'm talking about if dogs could talk to us, I bet they'd tell us.
Right.
Oh, my. Okay.
But with all of that evidence and clearly no alibi to get him out of it, Jesse Matthew Jr. took that plea bargain in March of 2016. And that bargain he took gave him 4 consecutive life sentences on top of the 3 consecutive life sentences he was serving for RG. But it did take the death penalty off the table.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Because the amount of times that gets overturned and appealed and blah, 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 whatever. No more money needs to be spent on this guy. He just should never get out. He just shouldn't be able to be around people. I'm sure he's a model prisoner.
Oh, yeah. There's no women to assault.
There's no women to attack in there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he is doing well in terms of his behavior.
Yeah.
But he does not deserve to be on the outside.
No, he's shown that time and time and time and time and time again.
Because he'd be a serial killer. I mean, yeah. RG wasn't supposed to live, is my assumption. I think that was an oopsie on his part that he got caught.
Yeah.
And maybe he was going to make damn sure that that would never happen again. So instead of going to someone's home, he would take them somewhere else.
Right.
Maybe he learned from that. I don't know. But I definitely think that had he had his way, she would not have been able to live to tell the tale.
It sure seems that way.
And then there's the other two, and I am not convinced that they are the only two.
No.
That, yeah, he is where he should be.
I believe it. And obviously, the death penalty is a real controversial topic. There were a lot of people that were really upset this got taken off the table, but there were also a lot of people that were really glad. And personally, I'm with you. I'm fine with it being taken off the table. It is so fucking expensive to put someone on death row.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many appeals. I would rather 18,000 consecutive life sentences than having to deal with all of the responsibilities and legalities of him being on death row. Also, I don't think he deserves to pick his last meal. Sorry.
Nope. I think if he's in a max or a supermax or something, like, he should not be in a minimum security. Like,
oh, no.
I don't think that that's where they'd classify him. Just, I mean, surely his strength, it sounds like, could,
yeah,
you know, cause problems. Like, he needs to be somewhere where it is locked down.
Well, and clearly he's got brute force, he's a flight risk, and he's violent.
So that to me isn't like, throw him in county jail for a little bit while right. we're waiting. You know, there's different layers of classification there. And I think that somewhere where we can ensure he's not going to hurt anybody else is where he needs to be. And he yeah. can be there until he takes his last breath.
As an area of interest, something I'd be remiss to not point out, though, was that there were questions if Jesse was involved in Alexis Murphy's case.
Mm.
Alexis Murphy was another local young woman who had gone missing and has had someone convicted for her alleged murder. Her remains have still not been found.
Wow, it's really hard to convict somebody without remains, though.
Exactly. I said, Taylor Swift was wrong, I guess. Sometimes there's no body and there is a crime. LOL.
How many Taylor Swift references are you going to make this episode?
I don't know. She's just been on the brain, okay? It's been a real T. Swift kind of time for me, I guess.
Apparently.
But anyways, Alexis had disappeared from a local gas station and forensics linked her to a local man's car who has been said to have been waiting around the station. Essentially, with everything they found, they were able to convict him of her murder.
Okay.
Now, this local man who has been in prison said, hold on, but that guy did it, and pointed his finger at Jesse. And so they tested his DNA. They tried to run DNA from Jesse against some of the DNA they found in the car that Alexis was last seen in. There was nothing. Nobody was surprised there was no match. Her family wasn't surprised that there was no match. I think this was just the other guy's attempt of saying, but wait, not me.
Yeah, if the family feels pretty confident with that too.
Yeah.
And they're not advocating for it, usually that to me speaks volumes, because if anybody would have a vested interest in that being done, it would be them.
Right. And in the 48 hours that I watched, they did a few interviews with one of Alexis's family members.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, if they had found anything, it still wouldn't have made the other guy less guilty.
Mm.
We just would have known there was someone else with him.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're pretty confident they got their guy. He's still behind bars.
Yeah.
Jesse was not confirmed to be a part of it, but I did think I needed to mention it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I want to end today's case with 7 consecutive LWAPs worth of applause for the justice system in Virginia.
Yeah. Wow.
A man with a history of allegations and confirmed brutal assaults, rape, and murder was taken off the streets in 2014 and put in a place where there are no women for him to rape or assault or murder. I read in a source that Jesse had been sexually abused himself as a kid, and while I take no pleasure in his pain, and he didn't deserve that, and I know the cliche that hurt people, he knew exactly the hurt he was giving other people then. While what happened to him wasn't his fault, and he had no ability to change that, he had every ability not to do what he did, and he chose to do it again, and again, and again, and allegedly again, and allegedly again, and any of the other times we don't know to point out yet. From the alleged assaults at various colleges, to the near-fatal beating and rape of RG, to the fatal attacks on Morgan Harrington and Hannah Graham, all only ever a few years apart, I have no doubt in my mind that Jesse Matthew would have hurt again, more, and likely worse. Jesse was 32 when he found, stalked, and preyed on 18-year-old Hannah Graham. I know that's not classic pedophilia, but it doesn't really feel right either.
Mm-mm.
I'm glad he is in prison, and I'm glad he got this and the next few lifetimes to sort out all that he did. We saw in a case a while ago that the harshest people take out the brightest lights, and this is no exception. Hannah Graham's mother called her a heroine who helped rid Charlottesville of a rapist and murderer hiding in plain sight. RG was described by everyone who interacted with her as brilliant. Morgan was kind and compassionate and excitable, and she wanted to help educate the next generation. Hannah and her unquenchable spirit did change the world. It was just at the cost of her life. I do want to point out, at least Morgan's family, I think Hannah's has had some interaction with it, but they are advocating and campaigning for an organization called Help Save the Next Girl. That talks about using the buddy system, staying safe, and making sure that all of your friends are doing what they can to stay safe. So if you want to check that out, that'll be in our show notes. But other than that, I mean, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. Stay with your people, love them. And that's all I got.
Wow. This case made me tear up.
It's a rough one. And I'm really, really happy they got the guy.
I hate the middle of it, but I'm glad that the end of this was some kind of resolution that might offer the family some closure. And this is just another case where it's really frustrating and difficult to have to say the same things over and over again, where you are not responsible for your pain or your trauma or the things that other people did to you. However, you are responsible for what you do with that. And that does not give you the right or the excuse or a crutch to be able to victimize other people.
No.
And
in fact, I'm going to say it makes you worse, because you know exactly what that's like. And you said that hurt me so bad that I'm using that as an excuse to hurt you that bad.
And he knew what he was doing was wrong, and he tried to conceal it. So we can't plead this whole, oh, we had no idea. Like, not that I think that that's coming up, but like, I've seen Stranger.
Yep.
But another case where you feel for the child and you loathe the adult.
Yeah. Because somewhere in there, you have the responsibility. Mm-hmm. You're the only one who can do anything with what you've been through. You're the only one who can decide not to go brutally assault someone or attack them or murder them. And everything seemed so calculated. I mean, he saw Hannah. He stalked her. He followed her. Found a good time to come up, be her buddy, got her more drunk, and then took her home. Or wherever he took her.
Ugh.
And I think this is another case in why women are so vigilant when we go out. Cover your drinks. Don't take drinks from strangers. Stay with your friends. This isn't any of their faults. You know, it wasn't Morgan or RG's or Hannah's, and it wasn't any of their friends' faults. But if what we can do is make it harder for someone to victimize you, that's really all we're trying to do, is make the odds a little better.
That is so much of what we try to do when we sit and do this, is like put yourself in those situations in your mind and say, okay, what can we learn?
Mm-hmm.
What would have been changed had we done this instead, or if this happened, or if this was at this time, or this many people were around?
Yeah. So keep your eyes out and be those witnesses. Be the people that say, hey, that guy grabbed my fucking foot at the bar and it was weird, because that helps.
It does.
It all helps. So what a case.
Wow. We will definitely link that charity in the show notes, but we'll also have it on our Instagram too, so you can definitely see that there. We have a lot of things in our highlights. I don't know if you've happened to spend any time in our Instagram page, but I'm biased and I totally think you should.
It's so cute. Allie does the best job.
If you message us on Instagram, hi, you're talking to me, it's Allie. I have a blast and I think it's a lot of fun, and we have a lot there. We have all of the cases that we've ever covered and the pictures of the people, places, and things that we're talking about.
Hell yeah.
We also have some memes. We, of course, share our pod pets. And our highlights have a lot of resources and the cases that we cover and some charities or other causes that victims' families feel are valuable and want spread.
Yep.
So we try to bring attention to those. We also have an entire reprieve space, so if it is too much for you, hey, you have a spot to go where you can like laugh or smile or maybe do both. I don't know. We try to be goofies. Cute. Yeah, we try to be cute like that. Some of it's wholesome, some of it's silly goofy memes. I don't know.
So check it out. It's a great place to kill an hour or two. And you can see everybody that we're talking today and all of their beautiful faces and also that asshats.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to do that, you could look below. It is linked in our little link tree, as well as our email and our PayPal and Venmo if you wanted to donate to the pod, as well as our Redbubble where you could look at some stickers or some merch if you're interested. But I hope you spend some time there in the next week until we see you next time. And if I do look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye.
Use the buddy system.
Use it.